the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. May be seated. You know, I told the early service it's easier to see people from up here. If you're tall, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you're short, it's hard to see in the back sometimes. So we always like to mix it up. Today, I want to focus on our second reading. It's our reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's about division. It's about the church. And this is the trouble we have with Paul. So sometimes we look at Paul one of two ways. We look at him as either writing for an old time and completely out of touch today. That's a question I hear about Paul a lot. I just don't feel like, you know, he's writing for us. Or we look at him and think that, well, what Paul did was he sat down and said, I'm smart, I have a lot of good advice, I'm going to write it down so Christians read it forever. And the truth is, Paul is writing as much for us as he was for them, but he's doing it in a certain way. Paul never sits down and just randomly wants to give advice. Paul's thinking of churches. And specifically, he's thinking of specific things happening in his specific church in Corinth. And when we understand that, I think we can look and see what he's, the advice and the principles and the counsel that he's giving them are just as relevant today as they were then. Because he has a specific church in mind. And here's what's happening. Give it about 25 years after Jesus rose from the dead. And churches are starting to form. People are starting to believe, and believers are gathering together. And this is the first time, this is a new thing that this is happening. And so there's growing pains, and you're never going to believe what the growing pains are. People start fighting and dividing. People don't like to divide, come on. People start fighting and dividing. It's our human tendency. And you know what they start dividing over? Who their pastor was. You can't believe that. I know you can't. But they start dividing over who their pastor was. You just have to suspend your disbelief and go with us back to Corinth. They're fighting over who their pastor was. And some people are saying, and let me read into you what Paul is talking about. What's happening is there's division in the church. It's tearing at the church. And someone from the church, a prominent person, now notice this, Chloe, you know, just our thoughts about women in the early church, but notice who sends to Paul, a leader in the church named Chloe, sends to Paul and says, we need your advice. This is what's happening. We're starting to break into factions. And here's what's going on. Some people are saying, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, I belong to Christ. Let me explain to you what's happening. Every church has people that have been there a long time. And Paul started the church in Corinth. And there were some people there that remember the day Paul started the church. They've been there since day one. They know all the traditions. They've been through it all. And they felt like they were the best group in the church. They should be listened to. They should lead. People should hear them. Well, when Paul left, he put Apollos in charge. And Apollos was, by all accounts, a very gifted preacher and teacher. And so people still kept coming to the church under Apollos. And they were newer, they probably had newer ideas, and they felt, we should be in charge. Not those old Paul people. And then other people were saying they belonged to Cephas. Now Cephas is Paul's way of referring to Peter. Paul calls Peter Cephas. It's a Greek way to refer to Peter. So Paul doesn't say Peter, he calls him Cephas. But that's who he's referring to, St. Peter. And Peter's people are coming, and the interesting thing about Peter's people is that they would be of a Jewish background. So they're not Gentiles. They would probably look and say, oh, Paul people, that's so sweet. You guys have been here 15 years. And Apollos people, it's great that you've come in the past year or two. But, you know, my family's been God's chosen people for 2,500 years. So really, you know who should be in charge of this church. And then others who just don't want anything to do with it and say, I belong to Christ. And probably they're the ones that are the most sane in this division. And so Paul's writing, and this is the problem. This is the first great church division that it's happening over. you know, who your pastor is, how long you've been there, all those things that would never happen today. But they're happening then. So Paul's first thing is to remind them that none of us in ministry saved you. That's a good reminder for us. And it's a good reminder for all of us. None of us in ministry saved you. Paul says, was Paul crucified for you? No. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Jesus Christ saves you and me. And so it's important, the first thing he says is none of us in ministry, none of us in the church saved you. Christ saved you. So it's important to remember that before we give too much credit to the ministers. Christ saves you. And then the second thing he does is that he wants them to look at the cross. This is how he ends it. He says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So here's what he's saying. You are coming to church and you're coming with the question already loaded of who's right and who's righter. I know that's not really a word. But who's more right? Who's the rightest? And you're looking at one another through the lens of that question. And that's wrong. You're starting off on the wrong question. It says, if we remember that none of you saved yourselves and none of us saved you, that Jesus Christ crucified is at the center of our very faith, then we remember the question that he came that we should ask is, who can we love? Who can we serve? Right? Jesus told his disciples, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but comes among you as one who serves. And Paul says, remember the cross. At the center of our faith is Jesus Christ crucified. He saved us, and not doing it by being the rightest, or not doing it by being the most powerful, or by being the most politically adept. He did it by love, sacrifice, and service. So what Paul would say is, if we in the church of Corinth could understand that these human things happen. We want to be right. We want to divide. We want to have everyone around us that agrees with us. But that what the cross is inspiring us, leading us, commanding us to do is not to think like that. It's to think first with the question of who can we love and serve. So Paul would say, it's great if you've been there since day one. You should be looking at how you can love and serve those who are new. It's great if you're new. You should be looking how you can love and serve those who have been around. And it's great if you're Jewish. You should be looking how you can love and serve and build up those who are Gentile. The question is different, and if we're asking the question that's centered on the cross, we don't have these fights. But we seek how we can love and serve. These are the questions we ask from ego and pride, when we want to divide, when we want to be right, when we want to be superior. I think that principle of asking how we can love and serve, I think that works in a family. I think that works in a marriage. It works in a church. It works in a country if we tried it. It works because it's based on the cross. The center of our faith is Jesus Christ crucified, who came not to lord over us in power, but to love, sacrifice, and serve. This is really what the church is supposed to be in the midst of human conflict. This is what the church is supposed to be in the midst of anger and hostility. It's what the church is supposed to be in the world. It's supposed to be the body that says, yes, everything that exists out there exists in here. Why are we able to live so peaceably in love with one another when they can't out there? It's because Jesus Christ is at the center. And that's our witness to the world. That's why the things we do with other churches are so important. In the early church, the days of the Roman emperors, you know, one of the things they used to say about the Christians that compelled them was, even though they might not have liked them, they said, look how they love one another. We can't argue with that. They love one another in a way that we just don't. And I think when we live in a world where even the church is so divided, I think it's easy for people to dismiss us and say, look, they can't even agree on anything. It's not look how they love one another, it's look how they argue with one another. It's why it's so important. I mean, it seems like such a small thing. It seems like such a small thing that a church used love, sacrifice, and service at the center of its life in order to love one another and live at peace. But it's really not. It goes against kind of our natural, prideful, ego-centered tendencies that we see just rampant right now in our public life. I could probably just preach a version of this sermon for the next 4 years. I think we need it. We need the encouragement to be that, because it's hostile in the world we live in. It's hostile with division and anger and not to minimize the things that we're passionate about. It's not no intention of that. But what is the way to build human community? Jesus Christ shows us. Love, sacrifice, and service. If we ask the question, how can I love and serve you? Then that issue of superiority and who's right and who's got to beat up one another, that all goes away. That all goes away. So jumping from Corinth to here, I think we see how Paul's counsel and wisdom is timeless here. Human beings will want to divide, will want to split up, will want to fight. And Paul says, no, you need something at the center that draws us together. It's Jesus Christ crucified and his example of love, sacrifice, and service. If we can look to that, if we can follow him, as our gospel reading said, his two words to Peter and Andrew, his two words to James and John, follow me. If we follow him, not the pastors, not the preachers, not the presidents, if we follow Jesus Christ crucified, then the questions we look at one another with aren't how wrong are you or how right am I, but how can I love and serve you? How can I give you what I have? How can we serve one another? Those are the questions Paul puts at the center of the church. And this isn't the only time he does it. There are other times when churches will be fighting. He'll say the same thing. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Love, sacrifice, and service for one another. So I hope you would be encouraged in our life as a church and in our life as a community. Not by what's going on outside. That can be very discouraging. But by the timeless wisdom we find in Scripture and the example of Jesus Christ crucified, that if we choose to ask a different question, how can we love, sacrifice, and serve one another, we can start to live a different way. Now, the example of Christ would compel us all to think that way, even in the midst of passion and anger and hard feelings that we might have. How can we live with love, sacrifice, and service with Christ at the center? How can we, when we engage one another, ask, how can we love and serve one another? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.